decision tonight.
I do have one question.
Sorry, yes, please go ahead.
If I can. My only question would be around 12, 13 and 14, as this is a public agenda, 12 and 13 may ask why they didn't get some funding when they were ranked higher than number 14.
Well, let's take that as a question. Could one of the managers give some information about that? Ms. Fife's here, maybe could help.
Certainly, through you, Mayor. The funding allocation didn't allow for those larger amounts to go through council issuing, so it was determined that the Vietnam veterans was a small amount and their application was quite strong, although the application process for that group was a little challenging. So the panel did determine that they were suitable both in application and budget allocation.
Yeah, there's some explanation along those lines in the text on page 40 about the particular size of grants.
Yeah, I get that. It's just they'll probably look at the table and it just says round oversubscribed, funding exhausted. So it probably should just reflect a bit better. Me as a group, I'd look for the most simplest thing to find out and I'd see that and go, oh, we've ranked lower, higher, but we haven't got anything because it's exhausted. So maybe just wording it different in the reasonings would be probably better just in future. But otherwise, I'm happy.
Thank you. And I mean, as a matter of form, I'm not... When we can even think about whether unsuccessful applicants need to be listed. But it's another issue. Councillor Crossland, did I see you seconding the motion?
Yes, please. No, I don't need to speak to it. I'm happy with the words that have been said.
Thank you. If there's nothing else from councillors, then I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's unanimously approved. Thank you, councillors. On to the Lions Club of Hallett Cove Shed project. Councillor Crossland, did you wish to move it?
Yes, please. Can I make a slight amendment to item number one? Can the financial contribution be changed to 24,000? And then I'll speak to it if I may.
On page 47, I'll just give people a chance to...
Yeah, page 47 and recommendation point one from 20,000 to 24,000.
And you're going to explain why you have that increase.
Yeah, so if I can speak,
yes,
if that's all right, Your Worship. So, look, the Lions are completely charitable. All the funds they currently raise go straight back into the community in its entirety. They've managed to secure a grant already for $12,000 towards this project. And I know to try and get closer to the amount they need, they've also taken $4,000 out of the funds they've raised from fundraising. I don't think that's appropriate. We don't even get this much funding off sports clubs that raise the money for their own benefit. This is an organisation that donates all their time for free, and every dollar that they make goes straight back to help worthy causes inside our own community. So I'd like to see that $4,000 that they've raised to go back to the community rather than a small contribution to this shed. So I put that amendment to members for that reason.
Yes, and in fact, I note on page 47, about halfway down, it refers to that $4,000. But you're including it in the council contribution. Is that motion seconded, Councillor Hull?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Happy to second this. Mr. Mayor, this particular Lions group has had an impact on the whole of Marion. It may well be Hallett Cove, and they may well do a great job down there with local functions, namely Anzac Day and other events. But in the past, they've actually spread their impact across broader Marion. with the Santa sleighs that used to go to Raja Street and elsewhere. They're a good bunch. And I think we should be supporting people like this. And Councillor Crossan makes a very good point that this is not a precedent. We have done this and more for a lot of sporting clubs. And I just think that it's 101 council business, and I'm happy to throw my weight behind it.
Anyone speaking against? If not, then I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? All those against? No, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. So we move on to page 57, the Regulated Tree Maintenance Fund. So we had a trial. It didn't cost council very much. And so the proposal is to establish the fund with an ongoing budget line. Moved, Councillor Telfer.
No, I have to declare a conflict. I have a large tree, and so it's a potential conflict of interest. So I'll withdraw from the whatever.
If it's not a current conflict, I suppose that's a perceived conflict as a potential future beneficiary of the fund.
Yeah.
And so...
I'm going out.
All right, you're literally going out. You can just turn your screen black if you wish. But Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move as printed and just thank the committee that brought this to the chamber last year. But also I wish to acknowledge Councillor Hull. It was his initiative. And I think this has been great. And I know several residents... have used this. I know a resident, particularly in John Street in Seacliff Park, accessed this because he was really concerned about a tree on his property, and it was great to be able to push him towards this, which was good. I'm really looking forward to this ongoing for the benefit of our council.
Thank you. Councillor Duncan?
I've just got a question about the ongoing thereafter. I just wonder if it should be a time frame rather than forever, because nothing ever lasts forever. So I was just wondering if we should have a time frame of, say, 5 years.
I think it's probably more of a reference to the way the budget works, that something just gets put in there on a recurring basis rather than promising that it'll be there till the pyramids fade away. Mr. Barnwell, our Chief Financial Officer. Can you reflect on the wording, please?
Yeah, through the chair, that is correct. That obviously we'll endorse the 20K for 22.3, and if this has been endorsed as an ongoing budget, we will populate the long term plan to ensure that it goes into the long term plan as well.
And can Councillor Duncan be assured that if in 2 years' time we think nobody really wants this plan, we're going to scrap it, then we simply take it out of the budget? There's no need for a rescission motion. We'll just stop doing it.
It can be reviewed and we can remove it as and when required.
Happy, Councillor Duncan? Yes. Seconded, Councillor Hull.
No, Mr. Mayor, no. It was moved by Councillor Schilling. So I've got a question.
A question? Yes, go ahead.
I just wonder whether we are promoting this enough. I'd like to know from staff. By the way, Mr. Mayor, sowing a seed about something like this was gleefully picked up by some wonderful staff, and they picked it up and ran with it. I just want to make that point.
Let's
get to the
order. We don't need the history, but the question about the marketing and promotion is a good one. It may be that staff have waited for this to be approved, if it is approved tonight. Perhaps Mr. Secafine or someone might have some knowledge about the plans for promotion of it to inform us.
Yeah, through the chair. That's correct. We were waiting for the decision tonight, and then our marketing and communications team will do another round of promotion on social media, print, radio, and the other forms to continue to get the message out there. Obviously, as well, we think, as as time goes on and word of mouth spreads, I think it will also gain further popularity.
Thank you. Councillor Hull, any other questions? Thank you. Looking for someone to second the motion. Councillor Masika, thank you.
I thought it was seconded.
Any further comments, Councillor Masika?
No, Your Worship, I would like to second up the motion because it's a good thing to do to support up the residents who have regulated the tree and they want to maintain them. And we want to see those trees around because it's part of climate change mitigation. So it's good for the council to have this small amount of budget year after year, which can support the residents to maintain up those regulated trees.
Point of order from Councillor Hull?
Yeah, look, I might have this wrong, but I'm sure it was moved by Councillor Schilling and seconded by Councillor Duncan.
No, there is no point of order. It's been moved and seconded. Is anyone speaking against the motion? If not, I'll simply put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. Right. So we can move on to page 63, proposed suburb name change. Covering the, whatever we're going to call it, the developer calling it the Seacliff Village. The question's been raised not intrinsically by us, but by the Surveyor General. So this is about Marion Council's response, saying don't call it something illogical that won't make sense to people. Please, we've come up with the suggestion in the motion as printed is to give the name Seacliff Heights to that area of the development and going then up the hill to the residential areas around the golf course as well, which is a coherent sort of package for a variant suburb name. So who would like to proceed? Councillor Crossland, thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move as printed. I'd just like to add that Councillor Gard and myself had a good look at this. We think it's a common sense approach. It makes it easier to determine where the boundaries are. And as referred to in the report for emergency services, actually having the main road as a boundary is very helpful. So yes, I wholeheartedly support the recommendation by staff.
Seconded, Councillor Duncan. Any further comment, Councillor Duncan? Yes, Councillor Duncan, you still need to unmute.
I think this is a great idea. It is really difficult when you've got two parts of one suburb on each side of the major road, and I think this is a better solution. And I'm fully supportive of it.
Thank you. And I should add, as a matter of fact, that if the Surveyor General is willing to entertain our proposal, then it will go out to public consultation. So this is not the last word. This is just a matter of what we put to the public. Councillor Schilling, did you have a question?
I do have a question, but you have kind of answered that. I was just more concerned around the residents that are in what would be currently in Seacliff Park, but moving into Seacliff Heights. Have we consulted them? Because obviously they're going to wake up one morning and be in a new suburb, yet some of them could have lived there for 50 years and always been in Seacliff Park. So you kind of answered that.
And to expand on that, one of the reasons why we haven't gone through a preliminary consultation to even find out what we should suggest to the Surveyor General is the Surveyor General gave us a very tight deadline to get back to him or her about the proposal coming to us. So we have, and that deadline's been extended to allow for this particular council meeting. So we have therefore done the best we could using the local knowledge that councils have to come up with what we think is the best idea. If it is entertained by the Surveyor General, all of those people you talk about, Councillor Schilling, will at some point be consulted somehow, and that will be before any final decision is made. So they won't wake up and find out that their address has changed. without any consultation in theory. If there are no more questions or comments, then I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you, members. And for anyone following at home, the maps on page 84 and 85 of the agenda are quite helpful. So we go to the BMX pump track. Now, this is the smaller track outside of the main venue, page 86 of the agenda. I think it's worth one of my, some councillors might be annoyed by my brief introductions, but I do really want to make it clear what's going on here. So briefly, we initially funded, a long time ago, $130,000 to have a community pump track outside the main facility. We then added $64,000, but that was for a UCI accredited pump track. That brought it up to $200,000. That particular decision, which insisted on UCI, but also carried the extra 60-something thousand with it, has been rescinded. So at the moment, if we want to go with the 220-metre pump track, but not necessarily UCI accredited, which doesn't mean it's any less quality, it would seem, then we are, with this proposed motion, restoring the $64,000, which was rescinded when we dealt with the UCI accreditation issue, and then on top of that, another $250,000 to bring current costing into play, and that will give a bitumenised 220-metre track for the community and professional riders to enjoy. The point has been made in our discussions that there is something of a monopoly in relation to UCI accreditation and directing us to one particular builder if we are to have UCI accreditation. And whether you're in business or private sector, if you have to go, if you are compelled to go to one particular builder with no option, obviously that can have a price impact. And so the proposal before us, councillors, is to not insist on the UCI accreditation, but have the length and surface of track that we have talked about for a long time. Who would like to move the motion? Councillor Duncan.
I'd like to move it as written. I think this is the best option for everybody concerned.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, thank you. Would you add anything? Then anyone speaking against? Councillor Hull.
I've got a question, Mr. Mayor. I don't have a problem with the motion. I just want some clarification. In this new motion, it still talks about UCI. Now, that to me suggests that it's going to be UCI standard, and we're still caught up in the international mystery of what is a UCI standard and what is it going to be tomorrow, and basically being held accountable to that organisation in terms of whether our track will be UCI ongoing and the costs involved in maintaining that.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. That's a good question. I did discuss this with Mr. Lyons today, the wording of the motion, but that particular point, Mr. Lyons or whoever, could we please be advised, why is it still described as a UCI pump track?
Through the chair, the mention of UCI is in the first recommendation, which is actually the point that we rescind the previous one. So the first recommendation there is actually removing the requirement for a UCI requirement.
Right. So, yes.
The new recommendations are number 2 to 4.
Yeah. So, yeah, I found it a bit difficult to understand when I read it, I must admit. But even something as simple as quotation marks might have helped understand it. The bit that Councillor Hull is looking at is the bit that we have Sorry, I'm still confused whether that is something that was rescinded on 27th of July or we are rescinding now.
The last council meeting foreshadowed the rescission for tonight, and the rescission for tonight is rescinding the UCI requirement as written there in recommendation number one. And when that's gone, as the Mayor's rightly pointed out, we need to put the 64,000 back in, which is the subject of recommendations two and three.
It is coming back to me now. We made a council resolution that said, of the various ways forward, we will go forward by rescinding that UCI aspect and then do something else. We haven't actually decided to do that something else until tonight, but that's why the reference to UCI is part of what is being rescinded tonight. So,
Mr. Mayor, I think it
did require clarification. So it was a good question, Councillor Hull. Did you have any other questions, Councillor Hull?
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'm satisfied with the explanation given, but it worries me that external people reading this may well have the same question that I did and won't have the benefit of the answer, because I don't know why we've even got to include that, because it just creates confusion. If we rescind the motion, that is inherently part of the motion. But if you read it, you can get the first take, like I did, that we're actually approving the scope of the track to be a union. You know, you can take it literally, Mr. Mayor, and that troubles me a bit.
Could I ask staff, for the purpose of the minutes, to have the rescinded bit in quotation marks and italics? It's just something as simple as that might make it clearer, and maybe even rescinds in capitals.
Through the chair, if it did make it cleaner as well, you could do it in two separate parts, take a motion on the rescission and then take a motion on items 2, 3, and 4.
Suggestion, let's do that. Let's just deal with what appears as clause one. Now, having said that, we already have a mover and seconder. Would the mover and seconder be willing to withdraw their motion and just move the first part, which is the rescission, and then I would come back to you for another motion that is the current 2, 3, 4, but that'll be 1, 2, 3, and it will look quite separate on the page. So it's thank you, Councillor Duncan and Councillor Crossland. So it's just for clarity. So that's the what we see there is point one, rescission, and it could still be put with quotation marks and italics on it. But that's being moved by Councillor Duncan, seconded by Councillor Crossland. If there's no further discussion required from the mover and seconder, and it's clear with everyone else, we can vote on that. So all those in favour of the rescission, please raise your hand. Just checking that is unanimous. Thank you. And now I'll go back to Councillor Duncan. You're still happy to move the three clauses, which are currently 2, 3, and 4, but they'll appear in the minutes as 1, 2, and 3.
I'm happy with that as well.
Right, thank you. And Councillor Crossland, the same, seconding. Thank you. And now we go back to the fact if there are any further questions or anyone speaking against. If not, then I'll put that motion. All those in favour, raise your hands or hand. That is carried unanimously as well. Thank you. Now, we have corporate reports for information and noting. So they appear to be uncontroversial. They could be moved en bloc if you wish. That is the questions taken on notice register, the Youth Collective Committee annual report, the minutes of the LGA ordinary general meeting. But in speaking to such a motion, speaking to those motions moved en bloc, you can cover all of the material contained in it, of course. Up to you, members, if you'd like to take them one by one or en bloc. Councillor Telfer? Moving en bloc as printed?
Yep.
Very well. Is that seconded? Councillor Mason, do you wish to speak? I'd like to, just before we take the vote, I'll give members a very brief overview of the LGA meeting. And I'll take the opportunity to thank the YCC, our youth committee, for their amazing work during the year. The report is well worth a read because it shows how very busy they've been. And thank you, Councillor Schilling, for your liaison work with them. I am sure they appreciate having that direct contact with an elected member of council. But in relation to the LGA, most of the motions, as you would expect, quite innocuous and uncontroversial. The two that I'll just highlight briefly, the pulse raised very, very slightly when one of the country mayors moved that there shouldn't be stamp duty on residential property in regional South Australia, or at least that the state government should investigate options to exempt or reduce stamp duty. And because all of the metropolitan mayors perhaps thought that that might mean more stamp duty for people in the metropolitan regions, that was carried, but only by about 52%. So that was a thrill, almost a close vote there. The other one about that was put up by the City of Adelaide for inclusion of email addresses on the voters' roll, so that voters could be bombarded with emails from councillors and mayors and candidates seeking election. Glad to say that was lost. So principles of privacy prevailed in relation to that one. But that's about the extent of it. Any questions, Councillor Hull?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The first question is, in terms of the youth collective, and for that matter, it relates to our senior citizen of the year. I have raised this before. I'm just wondering if there's any more progress being made, whether these recipients, the young citizen of the year, who is mentioned in the report, have an opportunity to actually be seen, heard, and be active between the award and between handing the award over to the new incumbent. And I think you were supportive of this last time, Mr. Mayor, and I have one other question.
Yes, in relation to that, my main, I'm not sure where that aspiration needs to plug into the organisation, because it's the communications and engagement team that focuses on the awards, giving the awards, the award ceremonies. And for most of the time I've been mayor, and I'm sure previously, people are pretty well forgotten after Australia Day, after Awards Day. And at times I've tried and others have tried to create opportunities for those people to speak, for example, at the Anzac Youth Vigil and so forth. But it hasn't really been taken up, and I'm not sure whose responsibility it would be within the organisation. So can we just leave that thought with Mr. Harrison, our Chief Executive, to take that up? Because it possibly needs to, I'm not sure how it needs to be disseminated in the organisation, but certainly a good idea. Councillor Hull, another question?
Yeah, I do, Mr. Mayor. In the minutes of the LGA meeting,
yep.
You're the council rep on this, and I hope you can maybe explain one of the updates, the climate commitment action plan. Can you tell council more about what the LGA is up to with climate action?
Well, it's at a pretty broad level, I can tell you that. I suspect that the papers that were tabled at the meeting would be publicly available. So that's something that you might ask either Ms. McKenzie or Mr. Matthew, the assistant, to chase up and can get.
So it's fair to say that climate action seems to be a local government issue.
Well, it's what's being done by the local government association is in very broad terms. It's not like the concrete actions that we're taking to ameliorate climate change and prepare our community for it. And also coming from, if you'll see how relatively innocuous it is, and it couldn't possibly be mistaken for something that would offend our major political parties, the people that we lobby and seek millions of dollars from when it comes to election time. But any other, you have a third question, if you must.
Well, Mr. Mayor, on the same page, it talks about the LGA and it's carried as a motion carried by the LGA, compliments of Victor Harbour Council, that electric vehicle taxes, that they'll lobby the federal government to advocate for the federal government to remove luxury car tax and electric vehicle and fuel efficient vehicles as well. So that's another pretty important environmental initiative.
Yeah, all right. Thank you for your contribution. I think we're ready to vote now on those three motions taken en bloc. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Is carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we're up to page 119, the event proposed for the LKCC. Now, I know I had a factual question about that. Before I go to Councillor Crossland, I just wanted to check if any councillors had any questions. Councillor Hull.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, something I have discussed with Councillor Crossland, maybe it's been sorted. It's just that I had concerns about the day that this was proposed, and I'm just checking. Yeah, the 1st of June is a Wednesday, midweek, and as I remember, it was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that, 4:30.
So what was your question?
Well, I'm just wondering whether it's, you know, given the amount of money involved in this, and I support it completely, don't get me wrong, but are we actually creating enough exposure when people are working to get to an event that only comes around once a year?
All right, that's probably something you could raise during debate, but it's good that you've raised it now. Council gives Councillor Crossland a chance to respond. The question I was going to ask is really one for staff. I don't know if it's Mr. Harrison or Mr. Lyons. It was about our agreement with Southern Cultural Immersion. So obviously we're paying them to manage the site, promote the site, etc. Is there anything in the agreement with Southern Cultural Immersion that might suggest that they are responsible for reconciliation events at Warragaringa?
Maybe if I can have a first go at it, please, Mayor. On page 119, two-thirds of the way down, paragraph commencing, there are no provisions within the management agreement for an ad hoc or event funding. Therefore, this request is considered as a one-off standalone. That's probably the best insight I can provide to suggest that no, there wasn't provision considered for an event such as this, and it is considered a one-off standalone, not becoming a recurrent consideration.
My question was really about whether there's anything in the instruction, if you like, to Southern Cultural Immersion about what they should be doing on site for the money that's received. In other words, if the agreement is silent about such things, that might be the answer, but in terms of the things that they are meant to be doing, is reconciliation events one of them, or is it just not mentioned? Does anyone know?
I'd have to defer through the chair, have to defer to possibly Mr. Lyons, but I accept that it was before his time, the negotiation of the agreement.
It was actually during my time, and I'm furiously searching. Chair, would you mind if you could get back to me in 2 minutes?
So, Councillor Crossland, sorry about the delay, but I just thought it was one of the facts that was relevant. Councillor Crossland, over to you to move the motion, as you please.
Thank you, Your Worship. I probably will try and just answer a few of those things raised. So, I've been connected to the LKCC as a liaison position together with, I think, Councillor Telfer and Councillor Hall. So I've got a lot of history with this site and other events that have happened there. I've still maintained a watchful eye over the centre. I've visited a few times to see how it's progressing. And I know that they've had issues with COVID and a lot of cancellations, but they are slowly building up a good business and everyone seems happy there. I did look at the agreement, and as far as I could determine, there was no agreement to do any reconciliation event. And I also then discovered that because of the nature of our funding agreement, they couldn't apply for any of our normal grants. When it was discussed about having this type of event there, the actual cost of to run the event, in my view, would be slightly outside their current funding model, and they'd be struggling to put something like this on without council's assistance. So I decided that to make sure something as important as this type of event goes ahead and we get some exposure of the site, and hopefully this might be the start of an ongoing annual event that they can run and either fund themselves or seek an ongoing sponsor for future events. So this is a one-off agreement to try and get this type of event running there annually. As far as Councillor Hall's question is concerned, yeah, I looked at the possibility of a whole day, but that would have pushed the price up. And also these types of artists are very well sought after during Reconciliation Week. And actually getting that type of quality artist and people you require, it's just not possible. They just really get booked up. So this was the key night that they could get this collection of people together.
Now, that was actually the 2 minutes, Councillor Crossan. Did you want to, but I acknowledge you were answering questions to an extent. Did you want to give a final summary before you close up?
Just as a final summary, I think that the document by staff is great. It sets out what we're trying to achieve in our Reconciliation Action Plan. I'd love to see all the different Aboriginal clans from around the City of Marion and further come together as a bit of a reconciliation for Aboriginal people as well as for the actual intent of reconciliation with the community at large. So I see it as an event for everybody. And I think the biggest takeaway is this is a free event, and all the tours and things that SCI are putting on are free of charge as well.
Now, I did see Councillor Clancy's hand up. Was that a question or seconding?
No, my question was answered previously, but I'd like to second it if you're ready to take.
Yes, indeed. Go ahead, please.
Yep, so I'd like to second the motion and commend Councillor Crossland for his work towards this.
Thank you. I'll just ask one more question about the agreement, and then I think the Mayor's probably exhausted his options for questions. But why was it put in the agreement with Southern Cultural Immersion, as Councillor Crossland said, that they would not be eligible for council grants? Mr. Lyons, perhaps, or Mr. Harrison?
The simple answer there is that they are not a not-for-profit. They're a profit-making organisation, so they're not eligible for the grant arrangements.
Thank you. All right, it's been moved and seconded. Anyone speaking against? You have a question, Councillor Hull? Or?
Mr. Mayor, just in light of what I pointed out about it being a midweek and, you know, late afternoon.
Do you have an amendment, Councillor Hull?
No, I just want to ask the question of staff whether they'll give good support in terms of marketing of the event, because I think that the staff and the council needs to get behind this so more people know about these sort of events, given the quality of the performers and the amount of money involved. Just a question.
So, Mr. Harrison, you're going to see that there's marketing attached, at least in kind support.
Yep. Thank you, through the chair. Yes.
no one's speaking against, so I'll simply put it to the group. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. I think that's unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll go on to page 127. Councillor Hull to move.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Happy to move this. Members, I was approached by a local environmental group to put this to you. And happy to do so. This is purely an advocacy motion. There's minimal cost involved with this. The Mitcham Council voted to do this unanimously quite recently. And in terms of how it relates to Marion, I'm a bit concerned, Mr. Mayor, that the staff obviously don't understand our community vision all that well, because they've lumped this in with quite unrelated matters like aged care workers' pay and ambulance ramping. That doesn't appear in our community vision, Mr. Mayor, those two items, for good reason. It's a state government responsibility or a federal government responsibility. But what is in our community vision? Lo and behold, you've probably seen, you've all seen this before, the circle, our community vision, valuing nature. That's in there. I think the staff have forgotten it's in there, Mr. Mayor, because ambulance ramping and aged care workers' pay is not.
Councillor Hull, I'm just advising you, do proceed on a positive basis with the ideas you want to put forward. There's no need to denigrate the staff. Please go on.
No, but it's in the report, Mr. Mayor. It's in the report, and I need to actually counter that, and I think I'm doing that. So, members, this is part of valuing nature. There's a growing understanding that climate change is an issue. It's palpable, both in the state and federal election right now. Now, you know, think global, act local. It was an old theme from years ago. It still applies today in terms of climate change. This is very much a council 101 issue. Interstate, particularly in Melbourne, councils are doing wonderful things, far beyond what we're doing. We're lightweights in terms of local government contribution in this area in terms of policy and action. And
right.
This is only
Thank
to
you.
Actually have a...
Thank you, Councillor Hull. You're two minutes up. Do you want to just conclude with a final sentence?
Well, members, I put it to you to support this. It like Mitcham, they just want to actually allow us to actually put it out there that climate change is an issue and we're interested. That's all it's saying by putting
Thank
it
you.
In city limits and in our council libraries and the like.
Is there a seconder or is that a question, Councillor Bilescu?
I'll wait to see if there's a seconder first.
All right. Councillors, Councillor Crossland, you're seconding.
Can I just ask a question first, please? It's not clear in the report, but this particular group doesn't seem to have any political connections. Has anyone got any information about any political connections to this actual group or their particular project of getting these signs into public spaces?
Sorry, Councillor Crossland, are you talking about, which particular group are you talking about?
So we got the email from the gentleman, is it from Conservation Council?
Yes, I knew him when he was in the Greens, yes.
So are they actually aligned with a political party, as in Is there any factual information that connects them with any political party?
I think it's fair to say that they're not linked with a political party in any legal way. They may be perceived to be aligned with some more than others, but there's not a legal connection as far as I'm aware.
Sorry, through the chair, if I can, just on that first sentence, I wonder whether it's designed the way it is deliberately. Climate Action Now is a non-partisan campaign, refers to the campaign. I wonder whether that's deliberate to reference a campaign being non-partisan versus the potential of any alignment or a policy position that the council may actually hold. It seems an odd way to phrase it. Rather than we as an organisation are non-partisan, they're just prepared to actually document in this letter to suggest the campaign is non-partisan.
All right. I'm not sure we can take it any further tonight, Councillor Crossan. Did you have another question or seconding?
Follow-up question for the CEO.
Yes, go ahead.
So based on that statement, would you as CEO be comfortable that by displaying signs that say Climate Action Now, that we were still holding our position as non-political?
If I can be extremely careful, because I don't want to speak on behalf of elected members or suggest I'm positioning my response on behalf of elected members, my utmost caution would be currently we are in election campaign mode and there are lots of statements currently flying around in relation to climate and the future of climate-related issues. So that would be the first thing I would be very concerned about from a staff perspective and then employees actually advocating one way or another during a campaign. I think it's a sensitive issue. It is highly political in nature. I think it's been rated as the top one or two policy issues of concern for the Australian community. So I would be extremely careful from an employee perspective to be promoting or otherwise aspects relating to this topic currently at the moment.
Councillor Crossland, anything further? Councillor Valeska, you had a question?
Look, I'd like to perhaps look at an alternative. I think it's an important issue for people, but I think we need to see what we can do within our own gambit. So I do have another motion. I have sent this to Ms. McKenzie. It's that council be provided a report that identifies how council is currently taking action on climate change. Residents be informed of practical steps and provided information on how they can act locally on climate change. Options for the most effective approach in lobbying for increased climate action to be taken at other levels of government. And also local environment groups can be appropriately supported by council in increasing awareness on climate related issues. So really—
All right, so hold on right there. I think it's reasonable for you to foreshadow a motion, but we haven't actually started the debate on this one yet.
Okay, so, all right.
We'll come back to you if it turns out that way. Ms. McKenzie, you had a note?
I was just going to say through the chair, one, we don't have a seconder yet, as you've just noted. The second part is that the motion that has come through is significantly different to the one that has been moved by Councillor Hull. So I'm not sure whether you'd like to take it as an amendment or no, whether you would consider it as a separate motion at a different time or without notice.
Thank you for the advice. I understood Councillor Valeska to be saying that he was foreshadowing a motion if this one was unsuccessful. I didn't take it as being an amendment. And just for information, since Councillor Valeska has raised that issue of what we're currently doing, I hope everyone has had a look at the environmental report card that was published in the last month or so, very effective and a very clear communication. Now, Councillor Masika, were you asking a question or seconding?
No, I wanted to ask a question first, Your Worship. And I want to come back to Mr. Harrison to look up the motion which has been proposed by Councillor Hall. It's a very good motion, and which is the world we are facing up with some issues with the climate change, and everywhere they're taking action. Then the what I see from this group is like they want to do action. So Mr. Hudson, if we try to put aside the timing, is there any way you can advise how can you engage with this group to promote the same concept which they want to share with the world, with our residents? I know the timing is an issue, and I don't want it to be a political issue. But the message which is going out is a good one. So how can you achieve that? That's the question I want to put before the administration.
Well, I think, Mr. Harrison, respond as you please.
Through the chair, my response would be simply that there is lots that we can do and lots that we should do pertaining to the environmental issues. My preference would be for the City of Marion to use its own branding and actually push ahead strongly with positioning itself in relation to the importance of environmental issues. Personally, I don't think we need to necessarily partner with an organisation such as this to actually press ahead with our residents about the importance and the activity which we are actually doing to advance the causes of the environment.
Now, Councillor Schilling, was that a question or seconding?
Yeah, I have a question as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
Until this afternoon, I was actually going to second this motion, which might actually shock a few people, but this afternoon I actually noticed four of these signs. One was in our council, which I removed, and it was actually screwed to trees. So it wasn't cable tied to a pole, it was screwed to a tree. And the other three, which are in another council, I stopped, had a look, they were also screwed. Now, I responded to Craig this afternoon and expressed my concern. However, if this was to be approved, how would staff man these signs and what manpower would it take to remove them if they are screwed to our trees, and how much damage could this cause to our trees?
Who would like to answer that from management?
If I can, please, through the chair, I'm certainly not an expert, as an arborist might be, to provide commentary about this, but certainly it would take some effort. We would have to resource, we'd have to monitor, we'd have to manage, we'd have to have ongoing coordination of those sorts of things which you've outlined. And I guess I reiterate once again, I'm not sure that we need to partner in this case to actually have our own City of Marion views and publicise our activity in relation to the environmental priority issues.
Right. Are there any more questions? If not, then I will call for a seconder. And last opportunity. No, the motion lapses for want of a seconder. So we'll move on to
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes, point of order, yes.
I'm sure Councillor Valescu foreshadowed a motion in the possibility that my motion failed. I'd really love to hear it.
Very well. Is there any convenient way to present that in writing to us, or should we just have it read out again? Well, that's Councillor Valescu. Do you want to proceed with the motion?
From what Ms. McKenzie said, she said like it's either a motion without notice.
You can move the motion now because the topic's been raised and you've moved an alternative.
Okay, sure.
It's close enough if you wish to move it as a motion, but it wasn't suitable as an amendment, that's all.
Okay, all right, thank you. So really it's asking for council to provide a report that identifies how council is currently taking action on climate change. So people are aware of that. That residents be informed of practical steps and provide information on how they can act locally on climate change. And options for the most effective approach in lobbying for increased climate action to be taken at other levels. So looking at how we can actually be most effective, and also how local environmental groups can be appropriately supported by council in increasing awareness of climate issues. So that's the motion.
I'm accepting that motion. Would you like to speak to it now?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. I think it is an important issue. I just think that with the report, it raises some issue on how we get involved in the campaign. So if we can actually look at how we could support local groups, I think it's the Living Smarties, you know, whether there is, we do something a week on you know, some information on how people can take action locally on climate change. And, you know, if there is some way to support this group in promoting the cause, and even if that group, not us, but that group chooses to be part of, you know, distribute these posters and put them in appropriate places, I have no issue with that. You know, even if that support's provided, but just looking at how we can do all that, I think we need the information. So, obviously, you know, there were some reservations from council about how this has come to us. That's all I wanted, so we can actually, you know, do something on the issue in a way that may allay some of the concerns that the members may have, and also some of the issues that staff raised, especially about the timing.
Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer, did you wish to speak? You just need to unmute if you wish to speak. Thank you.
This is an important issue. We are doing many great things. If we can define them and do community education, it's really worthwhile. My concerns about the prior one were to do with issues of signs in entry halls and administration centres and so on. But I think that we can find some ways with this new motion to work so that we clearly do some effective things.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? If not, then I will put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. That motion is carried. Thank you.
And a division, please, Mr. Mayor.
Division's called by Councillor Hull. So once again, those voting, please raise your hand. Voting in the affirmative, please raise your hand. And I'll call out the names as I see them. Councillor Pryor, Councillor Masika, Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Hull, Councillor Valescu, Councillor Telfer, Councillor Clancy. You may put your hands down. Those who are voting against, please raise your hand. They are Councillors Crossland, Mason and Duncan. Councillor Schilling's not in the meeting at present. So, Ms. McKenzie, you've noted that very well. The motion is carried by majority. What remains in the public aspect of the meeting? Two things. One, the cover reports for matters to go into confidence. For my part, as mayor, I'm satisfied that there are indeed reasons for us to go into a confidential discussion about those various items. There are six of them. So if anyone agrees with that, you may wish to move on block those items. Councillor Telfer?
Yes, I'll move on block.
So moving. Councillor Hull, do you have a question? Or
I will, given one of the items, I probably should declare a conflict and not vote on that.
So could you leave the meeting for the moment? Right, is that seconded, Ms. McKenzie? That's all in order. You've got that? Councillor Masika, you're seconding that we discuss those matters in confidence. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? All right, that's carried unanimously. Now, before we go, we're very close to an hour, actually just over an hour.
We're just over 4 minutes.
Yep. 7:38 p.m. by my computer. So have we had any members of the public indicate they'd wish to speak on the draft budget?
I've had no one indicate that they would like to speak.
So are there still people in the public spectators gallery, so to speak?
Yes, there is.
Well, I'll make it clear to anyone who is observing and listening that if you wish to speak for 5 minutes, up to 5 minutes on the draft budget, you have an opportunity. You just need to wave or put your electronic hand up on the screen and Ms. McKenzie will admit you to the meeting of councillors. But we're not getting that. We're just getting people observing, which they are very welcome to do. That I'll just explain to members of the public as well that having finished the public part of the meeting, there are various matters which need to be discussed in confidence for good reason, and we're going to finish the public part of the meeting, and so you'll find that all of us will leave this electronic meeting and a separate confidential meeting will be established for councillors. Have I missed something out, Ms. McKenzie?
We don't actually have a vote on the annual business plan and budget item.
So we...
we need a mover and a seconder and a vote.
Oh, it has been moved and seconded. That item that's on...
Sorry, Ms. Moritz, do you have it as a mover and seconder? I just didn't have anything recorded.
Where are we? Back on page 22.
No, I don't have that one either.
All right. Well, let's move and second it again. Councillor Masika, thank you for moving, that we note the public feedback or lack of it. And is that seconded? That's Councillor Pryor, thank you. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously, thank you. So that does conclude the public business. Thanks for the reminder, Ms. McKenzie, our governance manager. And 7:41, I make it, shall we say it, 4 minutes, 7:45, we'll come back for the confidential meeting and councillors, you'll have to join the meeting again, just as a reminder. Thanks very much.